Well, continuing our coverage from the headquarters of DTE Energy in downtown Detroit, it's a pleasure to welcome to the program Jerry Norcia. Jerry is President and Chief Operating Officer of DTE Energy. Jerry, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Kirk, and it's great to be here with you. Welcome to our headquarters.
Yeah, lovely headquarters. Great view up here on the 23rd floor. I remember well Tiger Stadium over there. Spent many an hour there. So when I look down at the bridge in Tiger Stadium, a lot of great memories.
I did as well, and I also can see our power plants from this view. So I always come in here to make sure that if I'm interested to see whether they're running or not, whether looking at the instruments, I can just look out the window.
Well, Jerry, you about the middle of May, DTE Energy made a major commitment to reducing carbon emissions by more than 80% by 2050. Very bold and ambitious plan, met with a lot of favorable approval across the political spectrum. You have a lot of expertise in natural gas and infrastructure. Let's talk about natural gas first and this the pending Nexus pipeline and the importance of natural gas and that pipeline to the 2050 plan.
Sure. So, again, as you said, we're very excited about this plan to reduce carbon emissions by 80% by 2050. And, you know, renewables will play an extremely important role in that carbon reduction, but so will natural gas. You know, natural gas produces about 50% of the carbon as compared to the consumption of coal. So in order to meet these goals and build these power plants that run on natural gas, we are looking to tap into a very large reservoir, world-class reservoir, which is about 300 miles, essentially on our doorstep, 300 miles from Michigan, which is the Utica Shale and Marcellus Shale in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. A very important supply. Traditionally, Michigan has gotten its natural gas supplies from pipelines that are thousands of miles away, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico, the Mid-Continent, the Rockies, and Western Canada. So Nexus is really the vehicle that we're investing in to connect this new and exciting supply to Michigan. So that supply will bring incremental gas to Michigan that can be consumed in our power plants as well as supply our gas company, and it'll help keep natural gas prices and power prices affordable.
For those who may not be familiar with Nexus, as I understand it, about 250-plus miles. Most of that pipeline will be in Ohio, some of it in southern lower Michigan. But what is the status of that pipeline, and are those dimensions about accurate?
Yes, those dimensions are approximately accurate. The status of the pipeline is we're awaiting FERC approval. FERC is a federal agency called the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And it's a federal body that approves natural gas pipelines across state boundaries. Now, that's held up because we don't have a quorum at FERC. So when President Trump was elected, one of the commissioners resigned and left the FERC without a quorum. So they can't vote and approve on new pipelines. Now, the good news is we've got two candidates that have been voted out of the Senate Energy Committee. And it was a very strong vote, 20-3, so strong bipartisan support. And we're hoping that that goes to the Senate floor before the July 4th recess in the Senate, in which case we'll have a quorum and we can start construction. Our hope is to start construction in July of this very important piece of infrastructure.
So that's coming right up. All the easements are purchased and everybody's on board, so there are no other major legal or provisional environmental hurdles to overcome.
So we've got our final environmental impact statement from the FERC, and it was a very supportive impact statement where all major impacts to the environment can be mitigated with the measures that we're going to take on this pipeline. We have 95% of our right-of-way acquired. We have 5% remaining to be acquired. So we're feeling pretty good about where we sit right now.
You mentioned that natural gas is going to play a key role in the energy portfolio of 2050. As I read your plan, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, by 2050 we're looking at roughly your energy production about 50% from natural gas and about 50% from renewables by 2050. Is that roughly correct?
Yeah, we've got a I would say the mix goes this way. About a third of our portfolio through 2030 will be natural gas, A third will be nuclear renewables, and a third will be coal. Now, as we move forward in 2050, the coal piece will start to extinguish as we retire our last power plant in the 2040 timeframe, which is Monroe Power Plant. And then you're right, it'll be about 50-50.
You mentioned nuclear, and we don't talk a lot about it on this show, but we have. You've been around the world, or you've been to France. Nuclear is a very efficient way of producing energy. It's very environmentally clean. It just doesn't seem to have resonated very well in America compared to some other countries. I mean, why is that?
So nuclear is a great way to produce power. It's a very efficient way to produce power, a very clean way to produce power. The challenge with nuclear right now is the economics. You know, with this abundant supply of natural gas that we're blessed with here in North America and in America, and with American ingenuity, which has really driven tremendous supply advancements in the natural gas industry, the economics are very difficult to make nuclear work. And so what we find ourselves is really looking to build renewables and building natural gas plants. Now, at some point in time, if scarcity of supply reemerges for natural gas, or if the price of carbon becomes high, then I think nuclear will become, again, a very viable option. But I think that's sometime in the future at this point in time.
My guest is Jerry Norcia. He's the president and chief operating officer of DTE Energy. Jerry, let's talk a little bit about infrastructure. As you look to, I mean, we've talked about the Nexus pipeline. You look to 2050. What are the infrastructure challenges that companies like yours have to overcome?
Well, that's a great question. You know, much of our infrastructure in Michigan and really across the country as it relates to electric and gas infrastructure, so wires, cables, power plants, pipelines, much of that was built after the Second World War. So tremendous population growth then, and also tremendous expansion into the suburbs. So much of this infrastructure was built in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Well, we've gotten great use of that infrastructure, and now the time has come to start replacing that infrastructure. So that really is the challenge that I think the utility industry will face, which is the replacement of wires, cables, power plants, pipelines. And we're going to have to do that in an affordable way. So what we've started to do is start creating a pace at which we can replace that infrastructure and maintain our power prices and gas prices affordable.
Yeah, you folks talk a lot about reliability. You talk about affordability. These things have to go hand in hand as you're planning for the future. And that's a delicate balance sometimes.
It really is a delicate balance, you know, and it's really about pace of investment and also driving efficiency and automation into the products and services that we deliver. So if you think about our grid, as we continue to automate our grid, that'll drive the cost to operate that grid down. As we start automating our customer interactions, that'll drive the cost to interact with our customers down. So technology, as well as hard assets, will play a significant role in creating that reliable and affordable future.
One question we like to ask about infrastructure, because it's sort of an emerging technology, as you know, but that's the whole storage for renewables and battery technology. A lot of work going on at the University of Michigan, for example. I mean, where do you see the battery technology going, and how is that going to impact the renewables?
So we've studied battery technology very carefully. The cost of battery technology is coming down, but before it becomes dominant in our operations, I think the costs are going to have to really come down much more significantly. We are starting to use it in areas where we very targeted areas, like, for example, to unload some of our substations during very peak hot periods. We're going to start experimenting with that. We've started also experimenting in other areas of our grid. So batteries will become part of our future, but the technology also has to evolve significantly.
Well, Jerry, this is an opportunity here as we wrap up the interview, but DTE customers out there may be looking to the future as well, be asking the question, okay, or where's our energy going to be over the next 10, 15, 20 years? How's it going to impact us? I mean, what would you say to your customers about this 2050 plan and the different steps between now and then that you're going to try and achieve, the different goals you're going to try and achieve?
So I would say the hallmarks of where we will move our energy delivery will be that it will be cleaner, it will be delivered in a more efficient way, and it will be highly reliable.
Well, on that very positive note, I want to thank Jerry Norcia, President and Chief Operating Officer of DTE Energy. Jerry, thanks so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Kirk. Pleasure.